Welcome to Security Guy Radio at As Is 2016 in beautiful Orlando, Florida, with my favorite co-host, Dietrich Diamond of CyberSN. Now, you brought a special guest with us. What's your name, young man?
David Shear.
And where are you with, David?
I'm the CEO of ISC Squared.
And what does that stand for?
The International Information System Security Certification Consortium, so ISC Squared for short.
And you guys are inside the As Is conference as part of this
yeah, we're co-located. Right? Yeah. This is our sixth year being co-located with
ASIS. And what do you guys do?
We are a certification body, so we certify cyber professionals. So we have a range of certifications, our most popular being the CISSP. So we have over 110,000 CISSPs.
110,000, wow.
Yeah, in 160 countries around the world, trying to do some good. Trying to make a difference.
I wanted to get my Microsoft Windows NT certification once back in the day. That's all I know about it. It goes way back. We've come a long way since
NT's,
then.
NT's, yeah, that's 95, 96, I think. Just guessing.
It was a useful thing to have, but we've come a long way on that. And I remember the kind of the history of this was, you know, there were people older than you and I that invented this stuff, and then there's our age group, and there's people that are younger, and the older people get it a lot, and the younger people get a lot, and kind of this group in the middle, we kind of got missed on some of those things. And then I wound up in Fortune 50 companies I work with, the IT people were, you know, a lot younger, and they had to report to somebody that was older, it was a different management thing that came up. And when the certifications came in, it made a big difference, because the guy that came and fixed my desktop as I got older, I tended to know more than he did, because I got my first computer in 84. And the guy says, I can't fix it. And I go, thanks for nothing, dude. I'll fix it myself, because I knew what DOS was, right? And then you get a new IT guy who has never used DOS because there's no need for it anymore. But some people I hear don't even know what DOS is anymore. And I feel really old when that happens, right?
Well, you feel older. His CISSP class, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So tell us some of the things you guys are working on. What are your challenges in this? Are you finding, I know 110,000 is a big number, but could you be certifying more if you needed to, right?
I mean, our research shows, you know, a lack of 1.5 million between now and 2020. So
Wait, 1.5 million?
Yes.
I don't feel good about this interview. Yeah. All right. Are you serious?
No, that we are.
Wow.
And there are other surveys that actually have the number higher.
Okay.
So we have a challenge of bringing new people into the workforce. Our research shows that out of almost 14,000 respondents, the average age is 42. Not old. But certainly moving down a line there. And
right.
Then out of that roughly 14,000 respondents, only 6% were under the age of 30. So that tells us something. At the entry level and bringing new people into the profession, we've got a real problem.
Wow. Now, that I find hard to believe.
Yes.
Because I take it back, I don't find it hard to believe. Because my kids know how to work devices. They have no interest whatsoever in how it works. It's almost like they've become a new generation of disinterested people. To me, this stuff's all magic because I saw the progression of it. So it sounds like you're getting, in that age group, you're getting the tail end of the people that, you know, were around when something came out, when the Sony Walkman came out. Wow, they still think that's kind of cool. And my kids are taking this technology for granted. But little do they know how much work it takes to make it work and keep it going.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit to that. And I sat in briefly for the FBI director's talk this morning, and he had some good levity about him, that his daughter said, Dad, well, the reason you can't find cyber folks is nobody wants to come to work for the man. And
well.
He goes, well, I thought that was a compliment at first, and then
yeah.
He said, my daughter said, no, Dad, that's not a compliment.
Yeah.
You guys are seen as being stodgy and stuffy, so he had some self-deprivation to his credit. But I think there is truth to that. I think we're not seen as the cool profession. We're seen as the people that say, you got to have passwords, we got to secure things.
It's so weird because it was the cool profession. I mean, if you were in cyber or IT back in the day, you were like a genius and it was great and very envious. That's really weird.
Well, I think back in those, I think we came up a similar time frame,
yeah.
And I think it was harder to use IT, so the IT people were almost gods to get things to
right.
work, right?
Exactly.
DOS, command line things. Now you have graphical user interfaces. Four-year-olds can use tablets and interface and do
true.
Really great things. So
yeah.
They don't need the IT guy, right?
Right.
Unless things really go wrong, or the IT gal, mm-hmm. with only 10% of the cyber workforce
yeah.
being made up of women. Another problem, another challenge we have, and then other underrepresented minority groups within the profession as well. So there's a lot of challenges with people, finding the people, educating and training them, getting them ready to be able to be proficient and do some good work. One of the challenges is that, and we try to do our level best. And then we have an organization that tries to train children to be safe and secure online. And Garfield is our spokescat. So we're trying a lot of different ways of trying to approach the challenges that we have.
Let's let our commander finish here. Our commander's given us an order to leave the building. We can edit this out.
Are we at Disneyland in Orlando, or are we at...
The lights will go out in about 2 minutes. Yeah. To watch.
Was that God?
That really kind of was.
I knew she was a woman.
See, there you go. You've proven it.
All right, so finish your thought. I'm sorry. Good.
Well, and so, you know, there are other challenges that we look at as cloud computing becomes much more pervasive, you know, and... my good friend Jim Rivas and IC Squared teamed with the Cloud Security Alliance in bringing a cloud certification to market because we know more and more companies are moving. There's a fear that is it secure enough? You're not going to be able to stop the fact that from a CapEx, OpEx, moving to from a capital investment to an operating investment, it's just too attractive. The price point is too attractive. So yeah. CFOs and CEOs are going to be pushing their companies to go. We need to have a cadre of people that know how to take those companies into the cloud in a secure way. So that's another thing, that's another challenge that we have. And so we need to get more people educated and trained to be able to do that in a thoughtful, predictable way. Predictable, really, in managing risk and doing that. But, you know, our goal is not to have people fear the cloud. It's just, it's like electricity, water, motorcycles.
Right.
You have to have respect for these things. So respect the cloud. Just don't go into it willy-nilly and just think that it's all going to be taken care of for you. You have to be proactive and make sure you're going to be able to have a secure implementation.
Now, is this an American problem?
Absolutely.
Really?
It's a world problem because
okay,
we
it is
must
a world problem
work
too.
Together,
right.
our
right.
allies, and protect is a national security issue and a world security issue. So,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I get a lot of solicitation from India, and we're going to code your website and do anything you want for $12 an hour. And you know what? It's good work. These guys are smart. And that's, you know, the price point is just an economical thing. It has nothing to do with their skill set. Are we having to go out country to get educated people that are interested in this? Or is the whole world kind of getting dumbed down? I mean, what's going on?
Well, I do think that there are parts of the world that have a higher number of STEM type of candidates, and Asia Pacific is one of those.
Okay.
And so when you look at how many engineers they're putting out through their education systems, it's impressive. However, when we look at entry-level people in cyber coming out of that area, it's still low. Because
same number. How weird.
Because our research is global. So if we may argue that in the United States, we might have a STEM issue, but APAC does not have a STEM, Asia Pacific does not have a STEM issue, yet they still are struggling to get entry-level people into the profession. So sometimes you have to look behind the number and look at some other data points to see what the survey might be telling you.
Now, be specific for my nieces and nephews about the vertical and sector that is lacking. It's not everything to do with the cloud and everything to do with the internet and everything to do with IT, or is it? Just in general, as a broad stroke, is the IT business lacking skills in all areas, or is there something really specific we're super low on?
Well, we tend to glob it all together under IT,
right?
That's
what I'm saying.
And so a lot of the IT workforce are the boots on the ground that are hardening infrastructure, endpoints, mobile devices, servers, infrastructure types of things. Then there are the pure security folks that are looking at governance, risk, and compliance and putting policy and procedure in place, auditing and doing those types of things. And really, when we talk about the skills gap, it's across the board.
Oh.
It's from the people that turn the nuts and bolts and very detailed technical folks to the leaders that can pull that together holistically, programmatically, to make that run for an organization. Because that age-old saying, the weakest link is what's going to get you,
right.
is that there are so many facets of security, from physical security to logical security, from mobile devices to your DMZ or your point of presence, to and the data and everywhere it's proliferating on all these mobile devices. So we look and see the skills gap. Really, that's what makes it that much more problematic. It's across the board.
I find this ironic that we're not the only ones that invented this stuff, but we're probably the leader in coming up with all this technology, right, America? And we're sliding backwards. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre to me.
Well, if you think about what security is, it's a massive change control of how business is done. And anytime change control occurs, it's chaos. I mean, look at our healthcare system. It was designed to be for good, and it's chaos getting there, right? And security is so impactful to the entire business. It's
everything.
No longer
right.
just email, right? So we are talking about a completely new era, which means we have to train and educate completely differently.
It's our hope.
And we're behind. Of course.
I mean, it's
well,
dark.
Humans
it's,
are intelligent.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
It's just going to take time.
She is always hopeful.
So, oh, no, I know that, yeah.
So, and I think we always have to have hope, right? But we have to remember that hope's not a plan.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So we need to have be hopeful, and we need to also have plans with which to try to make these changes. I think the other thing is it's the rapid proliferation of technology. It's almost ubiquitous
now. Yeah, can't keep up
and
with
so
it.
And yeah. so as it becomes ubiquitous everywhere, and even in emerging countries that took the jump from, they didn't even pull copper cable plants. They went straight straight to wireless, and everyone's walking around with a sophisticated mobile device. As it becomes ubiquitous, it just means our access points and the attack vectors grow and grow and grow. And now I think we know more that we didn't know before, right? We have tools that'll tell us, give us leading and lagging indicators if we might have been breached. And we find out that there's a lot more, maybe you call it spurious activity or curious activity or probing activity. Or just call it what it is, hacks. People attempting to hack you or burrowing in and waiting for another time to launch an attack. It's just much, we just see that they're coming for more points and they're attacking more points. And it just continues to increase, it seems, every year.
I'm going to get my certification. I'm in the wrong business. No, you know what the funny thing is? I got some friends of mine, they're literal geniuses. And they say, dude, I'm so glad you cannot write code. I said, why? He said, oh, no. Well, your brain thinks, man, you'd be coming up with all kinds of crap and figuring out how to hack something or do something, right? I get the concepts. I'm not a coder. I never learned it, right? But I'm curious about the profession. I love it. I think it's very, very
Absolutely.
Interesting. There's a theory. It's something my son told me out of math school. And I forgot what it's called. It's a guy's name. Basically says technology has always gone from, you know, day zero to 2016 like this, the world. And all of a sudden, in theory, you could say, wait a minute, we can't spin that hard drive any faster. It's going to melt. We can't go any faster because then we're reaching a physics barrier, right? And then what happens? Do we stop progressing? Do we stay there? And I got my Note 5. That's the only phone I get from now on is a Note 5, right? Or does it actually exponentially slide backwards? And do we start going backwards into the dark ages? And I'm thinking if we run out of IT people to run everything, the world's going to come to a big, fat, screeching halt. Am I wrong?
No, I don't. I don't think it'll come to a screeching halt, because I just think that it could come to a screeching halt if all the technical infrastructure fails. And when we talk about it, and we've had some keynote speakers
here. If you're missing 2 million
here,
people, and all my people retire, and the 2 million people don't come back, it's like, automation will come in. We'll have a lot of automation stuff eventually.
I think failure will come from massive attacks.
Okay.
If that, and heaven forbid that happens. But, you know, I know that we had a keynote here that was talking about, you know, the critical infrastructure, how vulnerable it is, and millions of lives depend on it. And so there is a, you just don't want to lead through fear, uncertainty, and doubt and tell people the end of the world is coming. It is concerning. People do lose sleep over it, because we have vulnerable points that provide services that have life, limb, and property implications,
right.
You know, not just in the United States, but around the world. Every country has critical infrastructure. So those things are concerning. And so, to slip back into the dark ages, I guess we'd have to have some type of apocalyptic technical attack. And so let's hope that doesn't happen.
Right.
But I don't think people are going to stop embracing technology, because the convenience factor is what people love.
Yes.
And the convenience factor is what the bad actors love to exploit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as we find more convenience, they find more ways to exploit that convenience. And that's what we're up against. And, it seems sometimes that we're fighting an uphill battle, because there just seems to be so many of them.
Right.
And the good guys and gals that are trying to fight the good fight are often underfunded, under-resourced, and they're working ungodly hours and burnout setting in, and it's an aging workforce. And so we don't choose to look at that like the sky is falling, because I just don't know that that's a positive enough message to try to get people to engage to make a difference. But it's concerning, and we have to be proactive. And so discussions like this with you and partnering with the partnerships that we try to do, and others are doing it. There's a lot of people doing good work.
Yeah.
We just all these conferences like this, where you see convergence of organizations that are trying to do some good work and protecting property, people, you know, information, infrastructure, national security, all these things are converging. And there's a certain sense of, you know, coming together at these conferences that we galvanize a bit, and then mm-hmm. we go back and we network and we build more bridges to each other across specific domain areas. And I think that's where good stuff can happen.
DJ Diamond, CyberSN.com. And your name, young man, one more time?
David Shear, ISC Squared.
All right. So I give every show a ranking, whether I feel good or bad after the interview. I felt bad after your last interview. I feel better now. Here's why. Because people like you and DJ are identifying the problem. And I think most things fail because nobody recognized the problem in the first place. And if we've recognized it, there's no reason we can't solve it.
Exactly.
I believe that for sure. So I'll only not sleep a little bit on this. But I'm glad you guys are doing this work. And I want to come to your – tell us about your first solo conference you're going to have in next year, right?
So, yes. Next year we'll be breaking off, if you will. This was our sixth year with ASIS. Our members have asked us to put programming together specific for them. It'll be in Austin, Texas. So that's going to be a good venue. Haven't been there myself, but Austin's one of those places that, you know, I've always
cool
wanted
place.
To go.
Yeah.
So now everyone's going to have a great reason to go there because
yeah.
they're
going
to come to the ISC Squared 2017 Security Congress. So hopefully we'll see you there.
I will join you, absolutely. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
great
Chuck.
To be here. Thanks.
Okay.